It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
7:18, closing out 7:19 on this Friday morning. Well, it's not a Monday, but he's on here, and this is live. Let's say good morning to Rick Zolzer of the Zolls. Good morning, Zolls.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're doing okay. Doing okay. So just as I went off air yesterday, I saw the breaking news about this big sports gambling bust, and you said that story had come out overnight. What are your thoughts about this, please?
Well, it's about 30 to 36 hours old at this point,
uh-huh.
But it's something that has been going on forever in sports. I mean, just remember back to the summer, Emmanuel Clase for the Cleveland Indians is probably the top one or two closers in all Major League Baseball, and he's about to get traded to someone, and then his gambling issue came down, and he just disappeared. He got suspended without pay, and we still don't have results. We kind of figure that the commissioner's waiting until after the World Series to announce that. But it happens in all sports, first of all. But this is kind of unique because there's a different slant with one of it. Chauncey Billups, who was a great NBA player and now a coach in Portland, is associated with four different mafia families, The ones you've always heard about, in actually recruiting famous people and rich people to come play poker with him while they were playing against stacked decks, electronic cameras, every way possible to bilk money out of these rich people and these athletes and these stars. And he is associated with being involved, making money on it, and knowing exactly what was going on behind the scenes, which kind of shocks me because he had a reputation of being a great guy when he played.
Yeah.
And he used to be a stand-up guy. But if these allegations are true, it's truly damning. But on the other side of the coin, you have Rozier, plays for the Miami Heat, who's made about $150 million to this point in his career, probably has one more contract in him for around $100 million. So all told, if he had behaved, he would make about $250 million. And he's rigging prop bets in order for him and his friends to make extra money. Now, what that means is you'll bet on something. I'm making this up. You'll bet on $100 on him getting 5 or more rebounds and 11 or more points. And then he makes sure that that's taken care of and everybody wins money. Then it goes the other way. He has an under where you're betting under the points and under the rebounds. And before he hits those thresholds, he says he's injured and can't play the rest of the game. Then there's one other player, Damon Jones, who was in the league for at least 12 years, 13 years. He's accused of leaking information to gamblers so they can bet money based on injuries. Like when LeBron James was injured, he would get access to the Lakers, and he would then report that LeBron James isn't going to play tonight, and then a lot of money switches hands by people betting against the Lakers, unfairly knowing that LeBron's not going to play that night. So that's three guys in the NBA, and I got to tell you what, they got to be scared today in Manhattan, because their offices are right next to St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan, on what else is going to uncover. Because I believe they arrested over 30 people, all told, that are all linked to these things we just talked about, except for the baseball guy. And I think it's kind of the tip of the iceberg kind of thing. And it's more or less insider trading, what the two current ex-players did. They're giving information. Here's what I can tell you. When I was the PA announcer for the Nets, when they were going to the NBA championship, Tim Donahue, who was the first referee ever to get convicted for this sort of thing, he would come to the table every night before the game, and he'd go, "Hey, Zolls, how are we doing? What's going on tonight? Is there anything I should know about the game?" And you never thought anything was, you know, astray with that, because other guys would ask the same questions. But he would then take that information prior to tip-off, go back into the locker room and let people know that, hey, Jason Kidd's not playing tonight. It's not on the injury report. But if Jason Kidd's not playing, the Nets ain't winning. So then there would be tons of money exchanged that way. So, honestly, it even goes back to college with point-shaving scandals back in the 50s and 60s. So it's nothing new. But now, to me, it's the guys who take part in this have the IQ of a kumquat, because everything is tracked electronically. If there's a bunch of money placed a certain way against the odds, it has a red flag. And once a red flag comes up, now you're getting tracked. So when you start doing stupid things like that, trying to affect bets, it's going to create like a dossier of all the things that are irregular, and you're going to get nailed. Why would you waste $250 million to make $50,000 or $60,000 on a payday once a month, maybe? It is just dumb to me. I can't speak to Chauncey Billups in the poker incident. That's something completely different. But when you're trying to fix games and prop bets, right, you're going to get caught. Everything is tracked now. So they're stupid. They're arrogant and stupid, and they deserve whatever they get.
I was, surprised when you enlightened me, you know, several months back about all of these combinations of those things that you call the prop bets. Holy Moses. And there just seems, with some of the public involved in this, there's like an addiction to this. Yes. What do you think?
Well, there's definitely an addiction to this, and all you have to do is look at young high school athletes and college athletes, and in general, kids in general. But it's so easy to go on your cell phone, have an account with one of these big betting houses, and place a bet. And you can do it while you're sitting on the couch watching the game. You could even bet on something like the next pitch will be a strike or a ball.
Wow.
It's in real time, and you just have a little bank account. You're up $100, then you're down $200. Then you're up $150, then you're down $350. And then all you're doing is chasing your losses and getting deeper and deeper into trouble and getting more and more addicted. It's an absolute problem. Me personally, I don't bet on anything unless I can control. Like, for instance, if I say, Tom, I'm going to bet you $10 and I can make more free throws than you, I'm going to bet that.
Yes.
But I'm not going to bet on somebody else with my money on what they're going to do.
Right.
But most people I know absolutely have an account on their cell phone, and they are constantly. Now, I'm not talking $5, $10. I'm not talking hundreds of dollars.
Sure.
But when you add that up over the entire country, that is an obscene amount of money being bet every single day across multiple platforms, across multiple sports. It is an absolute issue. But you know what? Chase the money. The leagues are now getting paid to have these people sponsor them.
Yeah.
And I'm talking hundreds of millions of dollars, not a couple of thousand dollars. So the leagues are walking a tightrope. What can we allow? What can we let happen? And what do we have to put our foot down on? I think they're going to eventually say that if you are a professional athlete or a college athlete, you cannot bet on any sport. Because right now, if pick any player in any sport, they can bet on any other sport if they want, so they have accounts. So if you are a professional baseball player, Aaron Judge, and I don't think he would do this anyway, Aaron Judge could bet on a football game. I can also tell you, being around sports my whole life, most athletes do bet, whether they're playing $1,000 in to play fantasy football or the brackets that come out for the NCAA basketball championships. Most athletes will bet because it's a competition. That's what's in their DNA. They like to compete. So they bet money, and I'm talking big money, not little money.
Well, and you and I had looked this up some months ago when you first, you know, turned me on to what was going on here. So this article that I just found here is out 3 days ago, sportsbookreview.com, U.S. sports betting revenue and handle in 2025. Let's see, after taking in $93 billion in total legal wagers so far in 2025, the U.S. has now seen nearly $558 billion in bets at legal sports books. So it's just, and you had said that there's a real international component to this, right? Some of these sports betting places are overseas.
England has, and some of the offshore islands have amazing betting houses where you can even bet, you ever heard people betting on death pools where the next celebrity or athlete to die is?
Oh, God, no.
You can bet on that. You can bet on the presidential elections and regular elections, not here, but offshore. So if you live here and you have an account with one of the big houses in England, you can bet all kinds of crazy stuff. Betting's not going away. Absolutely will not go away. The leagues have to figure out how to control it, because if you can't trust the outcome of a game,
right,
you're in trouble. And usually if there's one, there's two. If there's two, there's four. If there's four, there's eight.
Yeah.
So I am sure things like this have happened before and they're going on right now. But now the spotlight is on. I'm sure everybody's going to behave for a while.
Well, we're almost out of time right now, but we'll, you know, for sure be talking about this more on Monday, because we'll probably learn more about it between now and then. But it's
the story's going to get bigger.
Yeah,
you watch how much we learned today, because you know the guy who runs the FBI is now heading the investigation.
Yes.
It's not like a local office.
Yes.
It's the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's more to come.
And you know, there's another issue in here. This article I'm looking at says how sports betting is affecting debt and personal bankruptcies. So another
100%
issue to it. Rick Zolzer, the Zolls, be on with us on Monday. And then again, Rick has Zolls has his own show, 6 to 7 p.m. Monday nights here on The Beacon. Have a good
Have
weekend.
A great weekend.
We'll talk to you then.